Hey everyone, I'm Dahlia.
And I'm Alma. This is Nightmare on Fifth Street, a horror movie podcast.
Did you hear of the Nightmare on Fifth Street?
Okay, everyone. So this week, I'm just going to jump right into it. We're discussing Tarantula. You already knew that because you saw in the title. I don't know,
Dahlia,
if y'all ever, what?
Did it's I ruin not Tarantula. It? It's Tarantula.
Oh, sorry.
Depending
on where
you see it.
I thought I ruined it for everybody. Does it have an exclamation point at the end? Okay.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It depends on the media in which you see it, but the movie poster has the exclamation point, and that's how it was originally released. So it didn't matter.
Okay. 1955 movie, 80 minutes long. This is one of our longer classics, I think. 80 minutes. That's a good chunk of change for these old timey movies, I think. Of course, it's fast paced enough, so these movies never seem like they're short or they're long. They're just like the perfect, you know, length. But I just had to mention that because a lot of these movies we've been watching have been barely over 70 minutes long. And this one is 80 whopping minutes, man. That's a lot.
I think it's because it has a lot of science in it, you know, like real science and technical speak. Now, y'all, if you haven't seen this movie, do not come at me if you don't like it, for real, because this movie, I love it. I know, obviously, I really don't care if you like it or not. But this movie, I love this movie. This is one of the best movies I've ever seen. I fucking love this. And it's like when you saw like the Attack of the Killer Ants, this one. And there's another one. But these are so good to me. I had the best time rewatching this movie. I had the best time. This is so good. So this movie was made on a $334,000 old-timey money budget, which is $3.9 million today. That's pretty cool.
And some of the taglines for this ones were, more terrifying than any horror known to man comes a creeping, crawling monster whose towering fury no one can escape! Exclamation point. And then science fiction's most terrifying thrill! Exclamation point. So, I would agree with these. None of these are not ones where usually we read the taglines. It's like that tagline doesn't go with this. No, I think it goes perfectly well with it. They summed it up perfectly. Alma, why don't you tell us director, writer, actors, all that good stuff.
All right. This movie was directed by Jack Arnold. The screenplay was written by Robert M. Fresco and Martin Berkeley, based on a story by Arnold, which was in turn inspired by Fresco's teleplay for the 1955 science fiction theater episode No Food for Thought. It was also directed by Arnold. So I love that. It's like this inspired that, and the story was got from that, and then this came about from that. Yeah, this is a pretty cool story. We can get into it. It has a pretty good, I like the cast of this one. John Agar plays Dr. Matt Hastings. Mara, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, Corday plays Stephanie Steve Clayton. Leo G. Carroll as Professor Gerald Deemer. Nestor Pava as Sheriff Jack Andrews, Ross Elliott as Joe Birch, Edwin Rand as Lieutenant John Nolan, Raymond Bailey as Townsend, Hank Patterson as Josh, Burt Holland as Barney Russell, and Steve Darrell as Andy Anderson.
I was looking for my mute button. Sorry about that. okay, so I rented this on Prime. It looks like, Alma, that you also rented this on Prime as well. The summary for this movie is a spider escapes from an isolated Arizona desert laboratory, experimenting in giantism, and grows to tremendous size as it wreaks havoc on the local inhabitants. So We'll get a little bit more into what they were actually experimenting. I don't think they were trying to experiment in giantism. It just happened that way. So yeah, let's get into it. So the movie intro, I think Alma wrote this out for us perfectly. In the Arizona desert, Professor Gerald Diemer is experimenting with growth hormones in the hopes of finding a way to increase the world's food supply. His partner in the project was recently found dead in the desert, suffering from a disease that normally takes years to advance, but in his case seems to have afflicted him in only a few days. The local doctor, Matt Hastings, is puzzled by the strange case and, with Diemer's recently arrived assistant, Stephanie Steve Clayton, tries to figure out what is going on. When cattle remains are found in the countryside, evidence points to a giant tarantula as the culprit. Tarantula. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun. Yes, this is so cool. It starts off, okay, so the movie opens up with like a desert and there's a man who doesn't look well, okay? And his features are distorted somewhat. We don't know why. We can't really see, you know, like what's going on. We don't have any other information other than this dude is dying in the middle of the desert, falls over and dies. And then that's when enters our esteemed colleague and doctor, Matt Hastings. He shows up because the local sheriff wants him to look at the body that they found. So that's like a legitimate reason. But one of the cool things this guy has is he's got airplane. He flying everywhere. He just,
yeah.
They kept showing it. You know,
yeah.
He arrives in this plane. He's just going to go fly over there, fly back. The whole movie, he's using it like a car.
Yeah, he is. It's his plane. I think he is based there in that Arizona desert, but Desert Rock. Is, I guess, the town where he's based out of. But they show him in the beginning come in on his airplane from, I don't even remember where he came in from. But then they do show him throughout the movie flying around. So he's a pilot. He has his own little plane. He's a pilot. And I like the little noises they make for the plane when it skids on the runway. They use it every single time. I don't know why I found that hilarious.
Because he's landing on desert sand.
Yeah. Isn't
he? There's not even like a runway. Yeah. That's why. But, yeah. You know, they do reuse the sound and the plane landing over and over. But I love that was part of his character. Also, every time he enters the room, he's got another set of shoulder pads on that are just making his shoulders higher and higher.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that.
He had a lot of shoulder pads on. And it just looks so much. At one point, he's sitting in his car and it's like they're up here. But anyway. He goes to look at the body, and this man who is dead is he is Eric Jacobs. Is that who it is? Yeah, because we don't ever see him except for that one part. He is somebody that the doctor has seen before, an acquaintance, and he said it's been like a month. But he appears to have been suffering from acromegaly. Now, I pronounce it acromegaly because I thought that's how you pronounce it. And in the movie, they keep saying another way. And if I say it the way they did, I'm going to mispronounce it the whole time. So
I say acromegaly. It could be.
That's
a different
how I
way,
say it. But they do pronounce it different, like very different. But, this movie was set in 1955. They had accents that were made up back then. So, especially for the movie. So that could have been a thing, but they have this poor man who died. And they're trying to convince this doctor, the professor is anyway, that the man has died from acromegaly. And he's like, but I just saw him a month ago. That's not something that you die from immediately. Now, the science behind that I know is true because it's like the overproduction of that hormone from the pituitary gland, or is it the overgrowth of the pituitary gland itself? And I know that tumors on it can cause forms of gigantism. As well, because if that tumor grows on the pituitary gland, it causes the growth hormone to overstimulate and therefore can cause overgrowth in your facial features, hands and limbs and stuff like that. For some reason, I watched a documentary about this years ago. Yeah. I'm just basically saying back what I saw in that documentary.
And the whole gist of it, though, is that it doesn't manifest in a period of a few days. It takes years.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's the main point.
It is survivable. And it takes, but if it gets to the point of it's going to kill you, it would have been years of you know, having to deal with all this stuff. And if you just saw him, if they're saying they just saw him a month ago, or I just saw him a few days ago and he looked perfectly fine, then acromegaly doesn't seem to be the right diagnosis here. But that's what the professor is adamant that that's what he died of, acromegaly.
Demer. Yes. I'm going to try to keep them straight because it does have a, not a large cast, but they're all like, you know, the core cast. Demer is the main like research dude, and his research assistant is the one who is dead, or they work together. But the big thing, the takeaway is that he's lying. This doctor is a doctor. He is a medical doctor. He does have the background to know that acromegaly is not something you're going to die of in a few days. And he knows that Deuce is lying and he's suspicious. But the sheriff does not have that medical background. And obviously it's the 50s. They don't have advanced coroners, forensic pathologists, or everybody at hand. They basically called this doctor in just to see if this is natural causes or should they be investigating a homicide here. And since it's not noticeably a homicide, they're just going to be like, we're going to roll with the professor who works with him every day. Nobody killed this man, basically, that we can tell. He just died from whatever this medical affliction is. So this is a great part because we have an introduction of the, I'm going to say lady scientist because that's the way they said it. But I love that she has a nickname, Steve, because of the time she says that she has been hired to work as an assistant, not for Demer, but for the professor who just died. So he read her paper. He has hired her as an assistant, but they didn't know that she was a woman coming in. And I think that that was a very smart
writing. Really? They didn't?
He did not know that a woman was coming. And then he said, I expected you, but didn't expect you. And I think it was more subtle because at the time, I don't think they were like hiring women to do lab work or anything. And even the doctor when he talks to her, yeah, he says, you're a lady scientist is how they said it. She goes, yeah, I wrote a paper and well, I'm going to have to be fetching coffee and doing other things, of course, but anything to get my master's degree. And I think she honestly had like a pen name to get that position.
That's funny because I did not catch that at all.
I read into that a lot because I know, you know, how back then they used to have you, if you were a woman, apply for a job with your photos and things like that.
Well, she still was going to have to be doing all the lowly work, though.
I mean, yeah, that's true. And so when she comes into the situation, it's not Demer who was supposed to be her boss. It was supposed to be the other man who has passed. But she meets the doctor, and the doctor's just hanging around. Don't you have any patients, dude? And he offers her a ride, and she's like, sure. And this is just like, I was like, he just gonna hop in the car with this stranger? And this is where the funny part I thought, because I actually sent a tweet about this. I was like, were people just hopping into strangers' cars back then? And then I remembered because I had taken that Lyft ride when I was up in Salem and the guy wouldn't unlock the doors to let me out. And I'm like, who am I talking? I'm over here taking Lyfts and Ubers in strangers' vehicles.
He wouldn't. I didn't know that. What the hell happened?
Oh, yeah. That guy didn't want to let me under the car, I don't think.
Oh, my God.
It was really scary. So I was like, yeah. So anyway, that's what I mean. It's like, you don't know who's picking you up. But back then, he says he's a doctor. He's going to give her a ride. And they hop in his cool car with the top down. And they're driving through the desert and they're getting acquainted. And there was a funny remark made by the man there at the, I think it was like a bus depot or a taxi station. Do you know what it was? Because there wasn't going to be a ride for her for a while, and she needed to get out to the man's house.
It was a hotel.
A hotel? Why was she asking for a ride?
Well, maybe because she went in, and he said, if you go into that hotel right there, they'll be able to tell you how to get to wherever it is. That's why.
Oh, like the concierge.
Yeah.
Like he knows everything. Oh, okay. Yeah. And yeah, so they're getting acquainted. But when he sees her, he's like, oh, you guys don't even need to be introduced. It was kind of like an innuendo. I love that subtle, like, oh, you guys aren't even going to introduce yourselves.
Well, first. He said, y'all people, what do you say? He said, like, y'all move fast these days or something like that. He made a comment about it. Y'all move fast these days. I was just like, okay. So he's basically just like already hooking them up in his own little dirty mind.
Yes.
But before all this happened, though, we see the professor back at his lab, and he's working with animals that are all huge big. Now. They're huge compared to where he they should be. Big. Yeah, he's experimenting with this growth hormone. Well, he keeps calling it a nutrient. He's basically this nutrient to be able to feed, I guess, anything, because he's feeding it to all sorts of types of life. They're talking about how the overpopulation of the world and everything like that, how there will not be enough food for everybody or everything. And so he's creating this nutrient to be able to feed people, and hopefully people can live just off of this nutrient in the case of overpopulation. So he's feeding the animals just this nutrient, nothing but this nutrient. And it's sustaining them, but not only sustaining them, it's making them grow like humongously. Gigantism is occurring here. So we see gigantic rat, a gigantic not a gerbil, guinea pig, a huge tarantula. Right now, all these things are being contained to the lab and aquariums inside the lab, but you can still see that they're very obviously huge. And while he's taking care of these things and playing around with his nutrient and all that, we see somebody else. This is not the prior assistant who has already died from acromegaly. This is somebody new, somebody different, come in, and he starts calling him by his name. I already forgot his name. Paul. And they start struggling and everything. And a fire starts, and it starts burning everything. And while everything's burning, he chokes the professor out, the man now suffering from acromegaly, and he chokes him out. At first, I thought he killed him, but he didn't. He just chokes him out. He passes down on the ground, and he grabs the nutrient that the professor was playing around with. He grabs the nutrient, and he injects the professor with it while he's passed out. And so now we know that sooner or later, we're going to start seeing that the professor Deemer is going to start going through these same changes that we see these two guys going through. Unfortunately, this other assistant guy ends up passing away as well. I don't remember if he gets killed or if he passes away from acromegaly right there, but
he may have. They were struggling, and he knew he was going to die because he is at his like wit's end with being patient with the professor here. He says, like, we deserve to die kind of attitude, kind of, you know what I mean? And that's why the fight, he's like, we shouldn't be doing this, and this isn't going to help. And he's like, I'm trying to help you. And it's like, dude, there's nothing you can do. I think that the gigantism was like a side effect, and it wasn't supposed to happen, but it doesn't seem like he's trying to do anything to help him get better either. It looks like he's continuing his experiment and trying to make his nutrient not have that side effect instead of trying to help. Or like, if you really wanted to help the dude, take him to hospital. He wasn't helping him. And I'm not really sure either in the fight that happened how he dies, but he's dead. And the professor is alive, the Deemer. He is alive, and the place burns down. And in that fight, the tarantula escapes and gets loose. So that's where our tarantula is going to show up later. It's like, but he didn't know that. He thinks all his experiments are dead.
Yeah, he thinks they're all dead, and he buries that assistant out in the back. And yeah, the laboratory, the laboratory is all burnt up. But it's still usable because he continues to use it. And then that's when we see Steve and the doctor coming in from out of town, coming in so that she can start her new role, her new job here. But this is a mess that she walks into. She walks into all of this. But
there's like a news reporter there. They're discussing this. She didn't know the guy was dead. She never met him. But he's like, if you want to continue working with me, you can. And she's like, okay. Because, you know, obviously she needs to get her master's degree. She's there to learn and study. And she has no clue, though, what's been going on in the lab. And the doctor is curious, and he's kind of almost like mischievous. He has this playful kind of charisma to him when he's talking to Steve, because he's obviously interested in her, but also he wants to know what the hell's going on in this lab. And he's kind of cheeky about it. You know, I'm going to use all of these like the words to describe him, because he is, he's being so like, and just like, so you're still sticking to that story or whatever. And he's trying to get more information without being rude. And the sheriff doesn't seem to give a shit. He's like, because he just accepted the story and he's moving on. And Steve's like, well, I'll work here. And she doesn't know what they were doing in the lab. And they don't give any information either to the, who's supposed to be like the nosy reporter, but he wasn't even being nosy. He was just asking regular questions, you know?
Yeah. I thought he was, I don't think he was being nosy enough actually. Other than just doing like a regular, yeah, I thought he should have been more nosy. I think they should have had this character fit up a little bit more. So, okay. So Steve is not working in the lab with, Professor Deamer, and she's being shown how to do all the things that they're doing with the nutrient. They inject a lab rat, although it looks like a mouse, but they say a lab rat. They inject the lab rat with the nutrient. So she sees the, size of it when it's first injected. And then later on, she sees that it's like a full grown like rat. And it's like, it's really interesting the way they try to show us the progression of how things are growing. We don't know how long it's been, but we see like the pages that they write everything on, like first injection and second injection and third injection. It's only just a few days. And then we see these huge, just ridiculously sized gerbils or whatever. I keep saying gerbils, but it's a
guinea pig. Yeah. Well, the only reason I know, because the thing, I really enjoyed how they use the perspective and the cameras in this. And I think it looks really good for black and white, because they basically just used the picture and blew it up. Now, the thing about it is when you're standing next to it, of course, it's going to look more fuzzy because the quality of the frame isn't as strong, but on its own, it does look like a big giant guinea pig. And the sounds that it was making aren't typical guinea pig sounds. They use real pig sounds. And I think they did that on purpose to show that this was a much larger animal now. Now, Dali, I know what you're saying is like, they're trying to isolate this nutrient so that people can, I think his intentions were much more evil because of the fact that everything is growing at a rapid rate. I honestly feel like what he's doing is more of what we did with growth hormones to get our cows and our chickens to grow more fast so that we can eat them. And because some of them are large. Now, I saw him injecting his monkey at one point with it. The monkey isn't big, but there were a couple of animals there before the fire that weren't giant either. So maybe the first evidence of the nutrient made them huge, and that was accidental. But to me, it kind of like mirrors the whole thing with, obviously, when we started using all kinds of stuff and to make our food supply grow faster and whatnot. So,
well, I don't think that's necessarily evil or nefarious. I think there's good intentions behind it in the beginning.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think so. But I think it's that he's so secretive also. And the fact that he buried his other assistant makes him, you know, to me, I'm like, not so much even if he did that by accident, it's still nefarious because he's keeping things to himself, because he will do whatever he has to get what he wants. Like, he's willing just to let this guy die and bury him in the desert. He's willing to lie and continue his experiments, even though two people have died from side effects of this. And now we know he's been injected with it, and he starts to feel a pain in his arm. So it's kind of like, you know, the same thing's going to happen to him too. Is he going to become the mad scientist of the day, you know, in the labs or whatever, trying to do his experiments? But now he has an assistant, and she is going out with the doctor, or are they just meeting up? I don't know.
Like, I think they're just meeting up. No, I think they're just meeting up because she makes comments here and there about like, about, you know, like the potential, of a date in the future. So I don't think they're actually going out yet. But in the meantime, we also see that the escaped tarantula has grown considerably since it escaped. Like, how did it keep growing? Like, They did say that the side effect of the nutrient is the growth. So I guess it affects everything differently, because some things, like Alma said, were not affected. Some things are affected. Some things take mm-hmm. when they're showing us all the pages of the research and everything, it shows that some things grow quicker than others. So the tarantula continues to grow even though it's not getting its nutrients anymore. So
yeah, that part isn't explained. Weird. Because yeah. The other ones were still getting shots. And in this, yeah. Okay, so the science was good up until this point is what we're saying. without the nutrient, it shouldn't have kept growing. Or maybe it's because it was an arachnid.
Everything DNA. Is different. Yeah, its DNA is different. It treated it differently. So we see it like actually having grown to what it says 100 feet. I'm not good with guesstimating size, so I'm just going to go with 100 feet. It's as big as 100 feet, and it's hiding out in the mountains nearby is what it's doing.
Oh, how cute. It's just like hiding and making its own little den.
And I know, poor thing.
This is great. At some point later in the movie, the doctor goes and he flies his plane, you know, to go meet an entomologist, I'm expecting. And then they have like that part that reminds me of those old movies that they used to get you to watch because they didn't have any updated science ones, where they would show you something that was in black and white and it would be informational. So this was an informational video on tarantulas, right? And that part was so nostalgic because I remember at certain points being shown black and white old ass videos of different things. And it was like, why didn't anybody bother to update these? Anyway, so we have Steve helping the evil scientist, the doctor trying to get more information, but he's also getting to know Steve. The sheriff is doing, I don't know what the fuck.
Well, he's investigating now. He's now investigating dead cattle. He's investigating dead cattle that have been that are just now, when they show up to the farm or the ranch or whatever, the cattle are just bones. There's nothing left behind but bones and these puddles of white goo all over the place.
Dale, what would you do if you saw a pile of white goo?
Well, I would stick my finger in it and taste it. That's for sure.
Sniffs it, and I was like, okay, he's sniffing it, that's fine. And then I was like, as long as you don't, oh fuck, he tasted it.
Yeah.
What? It's not scat. And even that, I'm not going to taste it. He fucking licks it.
I was like the whole time, like I was like, please don't touch it. Please don't touch it. He touched it. I was like, please don't. Yeah, nope, he did.
I thought it was a pile of spider webs. Do tarantulas make spider webs? They live underground, sure. Like they burrow themselves underground.
I don't know. I don't know anything about anything.
You know what's so funny? I paid attention to the educational video within the movie, and I saw it buried. Like it digs itself into the ground. And whenever we found tarantulas here, because we live in an area that has a lot of tarantulas, they've always been underground. So I don't know if they make spider webs. So anyway, so it's got to have a den and somewhere hiding. So obviously where they show the giant tarantula during the movie, which is like under rocks and stuff like that, I think it's mm-hmm. because it was trying to get under the ground. So it's so huge. This little hill of rocks is the only place that it can really hide. But they do have a venom, and that venom, when they catch their prey, it kind of degrades their tissue and stuff like that. And I'm mm-hmm. thinking like the fly, you know, like it throws that's, up on it. Yeah, and it shut up. Dolly hates that movie.
I do.
I'll go on. So they're getting a lot of information, but it's mostly through the doctor's nosiness. And not so much of the investigation. The sheriff himself is finding these things. And Steve is getting some information because now she sees that Deemer is injecting things. But also something funny is happening with him because he's been in pain. She notices his face. And the makeup is really good, isn't it? It doesn't look fake. It doesn't look like he's wearing prosthesis. That's why I think the black and white and the not high resolution film is so good with this, because when you see it, it doesn't look bad. Well, to me, that is. And I really liked it. Like, I was really involved in this story, like every step of the way. I watched it back to back because I really liked seeing how they did these things. And then I got my husband to watch it as well. And he was like really impressed, because he's like, yeah, it does look great. It does look good for the time. It holds up. But what they used in, they're using a real tarantula. So that also is a bonus, because then they're just using real footage of it. And what they did was they blasted it with, I don't mean to say it so harshly, but they shot air at it to get it to change direction when they used it on a miniature model. But in doing so, you have this giant spider. And they made this movie essentially because people are scared of spiders. People don't want to see big spiders. People don't like looking at them. They're creepy. They're weird. Even when you find them in the house, most people aren't going to just go let them outside. No, you kill them. And whenever we picked up tarantulas, we always kill them. And I feel bad about that, but, you know, it's your first reaction. Like when you see one, you start screaming, and you just slap it. You find whatever the hell you can find and squish it. So it's like, how are they going to kill this thing? So Steve and him, another thing that I had talked about, her hopping in this car with this stranger. But at one point he's like, let's go for a drive. And he takes her to the desert. This sounds like a true crime episode. This looks like it's turning into an episode of Dateline. And Steve is in, she's in danger, girl. You know, it's like, what is going, he's driving her in the desert? That just looked like scary. And they're walking around. And did they actually destroy that little hill of rocks, that nature's formation of rocks? Because it looks like an actual small hill of rocks that someone knocked over.
No, there's that real formation of rocks, and then you can see how they used the fake boulders with it as well. But they're sitting there, and they're enjoying it. Well, yeah, I mean, it looks real. They try to make it look real. But I like the way they're sitting there enjoying their time, and then all of a sudden this tarantula decides it's going to mess up their little private time and try to come out. They don't see the tarantula though. They just see the rocks coming down like on top of them. So they get away and they drive away. And then as they drive away, you can see the tarantula coming up from behind the little pile of rocks, because they had stopped specifically because they saw the pile of rocks and they thought that they looked beautiful just the way they were. So I thought that was sweet. And,
that was romantic. Here, check out these rocks. Yeah, they didn't have shit to do back then, y'all. They didn't have cable.
Well, he didn't have any patience for some reason for a doctor.
Oh yeah, that too. He's just fucking hanging out.
So weird. It's just so weird. This doctor who's like the only doctor in town that he gets called around to everything, but yet he has no patience. So what kind of fucking doctor is he? But anyways, in the meantime, like I said, there's cattle being killed. Now there's two men have been killed as well.
That was fucked.
They're finding this goo around the place. And like Alma said, that's when the doctor collects some of this goo and he takes it to the expert over here in spiders or all insects or whatever. And he tells them that, you know, this is what it is, blah, 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 blah. And what have I told you, that this stuff was in 4 to 5 feet long goo piles. Of course, I'm saying goo piles. And I think at first the doctor or the scientist didn't believe him, but I think he ended up believing him, if I remember correctly. But anyways, it's just, I'm looking at it from the point of view of someone who is terrified of spiders and thinking like, why are we thinking it's a spider and not being more, acting more urgently? I guess that's the one I'm trying to think of.
He is very nonchalant. To describe this doctor in the entire movie, it's like, I picture him with his arm back, just like, yeah. And then I saw a giant tarantula, you know, like he's too cool about this stuff. And even in joking, he's like, well, you know, let's just theorize. But he collected some of that venom in just some random thermos. and then the doctor he's talking to, which is at the Arizona Agricultural Institute,
okay,
in Phoenix. The doctor he's talking to is like, well, if you're trying to suggest that this came from a giant spider, even if it was 100 times its size, couldn't do that. So we already know it's not 100 times. It's way bigger. Like, it could not make this. He's like, this is pure conjecture based on, you know, scientists and stuff like that. Yeah, he adjusted his glasses. But he is going along with it and answering the questions at least. And this doctor is way too cool about this. But at the same time, isn't that smart? If you told people at that time, you know, there's a giant tarantula, I would just expect everybody to lose their shit. I'm going to be running around with shotguns, just shooting everything and blaming it on people. You know how people just, you know, I think that that's realistic in all these apocalypse kind of movies or scenarios, or there's monsters, is that people are going to fuck around. They're going to lose their shit and then stuff is going to happen. So until he knows exactly what's going on, he's not going to tell anybody anything. So he's gathered his evidence from this doctor guy or this scientist. And then he goes back, and then there's the sheriff, and the sheriff is looking at more skeletons. And I think these are horses this time. This one was fucked because isn't it kind of sad too? The tarantula is hungry and they show it eating a beetle. So if you're talking about the size of what it's used to eating, it's really hungry. So you can't really blame the tarantula that it's eating so much stuff. But the interesting part of it is when it does attack, it's going to be more nocturnal and therefore you're not going to see it. And then you wake up and all your horses are gone and your stable hands, I think that's what they call them.
Yeah, I think so. So now we have people getting killed. We have the horses and the cattle getting killed. And now we have an idea that for sure it's a giant spider or a tarantula specifically. I can't even say that word. Did you hear how I say that specifically?
I always, because I'm always fucking around with the pronunciation of that one. And I like to say specifically.
I'm not going to be able to say it right now. I can't even, I want to say the word because I feel like I have to say it, but now I just can't even say it. Okay. So the doctor flies back to Desert Rock on his fancy plane that he flies, and he skids across the runway of the sand. And the tarantula is humongous. It's huge. It's bigger than a house. And we know this because it comes upon the house of the professor where he's doing, where they're doing all their experimenting and all that stuff. And it comes and it's bigger than that fucking house. And we have, we see that earlier we had seen that the professor's acromegaly has advanced quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And he is in bed with pain medication to help feel better, because he's explained everything that happened with the nutrient, what happened with his lab assistants, that they had injected themselves because they wanted to see how it would. Although that right there could be a lie too. He could be saying that they injected themselves and it was really him that injected them. So we don't know if that part's true or not. But he's basically been forthcoming with the fact that this nutrient is the one that's causing it all. So we see that his face has really started to change dramatically. And Steve is going to bed now. She's just given the professor some pain medication so that he can rest. She's going to go get some rest now. And as she's going to get some rest, we see in the window looking in at her is the tarantula. It's just like peeping in like, hey there, how's you doing?
Hello. But I love that part.
But he's not being nice. He wants to eat her. He sees something moving and he wants to eat her. So she turns around, she sees it, she freaks out, of course, and then that's when the tarantula just starts making trying to break through the house. And I'm surprised she even got out alive, because I was thinking the whole time, like, how strong are you know how they do that I forget what it's called, but when they do a comparison, like an ant can carry so much,
like more, 10 times like, its weight or whatever.
Exactly. So I'm curious how a tarantula strength equates, because it's bringing down the house.
Mm-hmm. It's bringing literally down bringing, the house.
Yeah, it's bringing down that house. So she manages to escape. And unfortunately, the professor is doomed inside the house and he doesn't escape. But she manages to escape. She runs out and she meets up with the doctor on the road because he was coming towards the house. And she jumps into the car with him and they take off. And the tarantula starts going after them because he's like, ooh, more food. Yay. Mm-hmm. So and then they meet up with the sheriff. They meet up. They're bringing in all the guns. Literally, they're bringing in all the guns. I don't remember how he got in contact with them, but he said, "Let's do this."
He's calling. He's like, "All points bulletin. Get out here with your guns." And they, you know, they're on their walkie talkies and stuff, getting all.
Yeah, I don't even remember how that happened, but it happened. And so they stop for a little bit. All these cops and the doctor, and they're like, "Okay, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna try to take it down with guns." And they left these two poor cops there behind with the doctor's car. And these two were supposed to there. That the plan was try to take it down with your guns. If you cannot, hop in the doctor's car and follow us. And they're like, okay. So they try to take it out with the gun. They couldn't. They hop in the doctor's car and the doctor's car wouldn't start. It wouldn't fucking start. And they get eaten by the fucking tarantula.
Yeah, so they're just dead. And see, that's why I like the fact that because this is like it's implied, you know, how they're dying. You know they're getting killed, but the instructional educational video that they show is telling you that the venom is basically melting all of their, you know, body off of their bones. So I love that because that's a more terror that they're putting in you without actually seeing it. But poor guys, their bullets are just like boinging off of the tarantula, like boing, boing, or what's that sound effect when it's like pew, pew, like Wonder Woman? It's just like deflecting them off left and right. And their next plan is they're going to use TNT. And they have their roadblock set up. I love that. Yeah, because they got a truck and they loaded up with, because everybody had TNT back then. Because everybody. Supplies you get. It's like, what year is it? Okay, you get 10 rounds of TNT. I don't even know what the fuck.
Four loaves of bread and
and a stick of butter. So, or 10 sticks of dynamite. So they throw those at him again and the tarantula, and it's just like, pew, pew. It's just like, it's just deflecting it. It's probably because of all the fuzzy spikes on a tarantula.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have all of those fuzzy spikes on them. And those hurt y'all. They're very stingy. And that doesn't kill it either. So the doctor, again, is the one who's calling the shots here with the sheriff. They call for a jet strike.
A napalm. Yep. So they're evacuating the town. I already forgot what the name of the little town is, but they're Desert Rock. They're evacuating the Desert Rock because you see all these people, these ladies and these children running, getting into cars and running away. And in the distance, you see this giant tarantula coming towards them. And then you see a young, uncredited Clint Eastwood in the fighter jets coming to save the day. Mm-hmm. I believe I saw that this was his second uncredited role. If his career, but so you see these fighter jets coming in and they start just doing regular rockets. I don't know what regular rockets are, but that's what they did. They did regular rockets at it first, and the regular mm-hmm. rockets did nothing, nada. They didn't do anything to this tarantula. And then finally they're like, all right, let's do all the napalm. Let's do it. And then they start laying in heavy on the napalm, and then we just see Kablooey. Everything just, yeah.
It burns.
Poor little tarantula.
It just burns up, and it's not even that tarantula's fault. I really feel bad for it because, like, does it become sentient at some point? Because it comes back to that house like it's gonna seek revenge, like it comes back to its home for the revenging. Okay, but it's also like starving because it needs so much food to like live, and then they burn it up. And I told my husband that they blew up the real spider here, and that it was on fire. I don't know if they did or not, but. This same tarantula footage was used in the original The Fly, the tarantula that comes to eat the scientist in that one. So maybe they did let it live. Maybe they didn't burn it up.
Yeah, I saw somewhere that this same tarantula actually also appeared in The Incredible Shrinking Man as the spider threatening the shrinking man. So,
it's well, maybe a famous... I got that wrong. Am I remembering my trivia wrong? I think you're right.
No, you could be. No, you could be right. That could be okay. Totally right. I mean, they can use this footage and they can use this tarantula. I mean, this is a famous tarantula. That's mm-hmm. all I'm saying. That's all I wanted
yeah,
to
add. Yeah, it is pretty popular. So it was the list of movies that it is in is just really long. For a tarantula, you know.
Exclamation point.
Yeah. So this was a really good movie. I love this movie. I love it. I just think the story is really good. I was really into it, and I love that the whole idea of the giant, you know, just stomping around in the fucking desert and killing things and shit. But I like what they did, what they used, and how they used it for the perspective of the people in the audience. And only a few points that it looked like not the best idea, like when it was dark. They used the dusk to their advantage because then you see the large tarantula and it looks very, very fuzzy and out of focus at times. And other times it just looks like it could be a giant tarantula walking around. Yeah. When they use the dusk to their advantage, it looks really great.
I thought they did a really good job of it as well. It's a fun movie. Yes, I agree. If you haven't seen it, you probably have seen it. You'd even realize it. It's always showing in the back of a whole bunch of movies. It's just one of those movies that I should definitely watch from beginning to end, though, in one sitting. That way you can truly appreciate it, and especially appreciate the effects that they used to use back in the day to try to, you know, convey this message of this giant, these giant animals. And like Alma had described them earlier, I think it's really well done, regardless of what time period it was. But if you really want to think about it, this was what, 1955? Yeah, 1955.
Yep.
To think that people knew how to do these things, it's just like, it's just amazing. Yeah. I'm not saying people are stupid. I'm just saying to be able to translate it with the limited technology that they had at the time to be able to do this. I just thought
this was so this cool. Was like the invention of things is basically what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then innovating things so much that as time has gone on, everything's just gotten so much better. But I think that they had this perfect. They couldn't have done it better, in my opinion, with what they had and the resources. It looks great. The story is good. They got me in there. They got me all excited. They even had jets. They got the dude flying around his personal plane. You know, they got the animals. They had a monkey. That was pretty cool. And and they have this giant, you know, or regular sized tarantula. Maybe it was big. Maybe they experimented on it and that's what it really looked like.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, so tarantula, good. I was never scared of tarantulas or spiders. It's not something that I'm scared of. But if you've ever had a tarantula on you, that feels terrible. It is really creepy. It is really crawly. And I could see how people went to the theater and had full body chills just imagining being touched by a tarantula. And I think that's where a lot of the fear came from, was it touching you, you know? Ugh, that's gross.
Yeah. So, all right. So like I said, check it out. It's on Prime. It's on Amazon Prime, Prime TV. Well, not Prime TV. You know what I'm talking about. Go rent it on Prime. I'm sure there's lots of other places you can find it. I'm sure it's on YouTube for free somehow. But with that being said, Alma, where can people get a hold of us and tell us what they thought of this movie?
All right. You can reach us anytime over on our website, nightmaremoviepodcast.com. Our Instagram is at nightmaremoviepodcast. Our Twitter, we're still on there, at nightmareon5th. That's nightmareon5th. We write shit over on horrormovieblog.com. And the Twitter for that is at horrormovieblog.com. And Dale has our Patreon and Buy Me a Coffee information.
And we are a two-woman show over here. And if you're able to support us, we'd really appreciate it. We are patreon.com/nightmaremoviepodcast. And for a one-time donation, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/nightmarepod. But however you all choose to support us, we truly, really appreciate it. Thank you all so much for joining us this week. And until next week, bye.
Bye-bye.